5. Hearthstone. I can point to the moment when I decided for certain this record had to be written. I hung between realms, seeing into Shadesmar, the realm of the Spren, and beyond. From Oathbringer, Preface. Kaladin trudged through a field of quiet rock buds, fully aware that he was too late to prevent a disaster. His failure pressed down on him with an almost physical sensation, like the weight of a bridge he was forced to carry all on his own. After so long in the eastern part of the Stormlands, he had nearly forgotten the sights of a fertile landscape. Rock buds here grew almost as big as barrels, with vines as thick as his wrist spilling out and lapping water from the pools on the stone. Fields of vibrant green grass pulled back into burrows before him, easily 3 feet tall when standing at height. The field was dappled with glowing life spren, like motes of green dust. The grass back near the shattered plains had barely reached as high as his ankle, and had mostly grown in yellowish patches on the leeward side of hills. He was surprised to find that he distrusted this taller, fuller grass. An ambusher could hide in that by crouching down and waiting for the grass to rise back up. How had Kaladin never noticed? He'd run through fields like this, playing catch-me with his brother, trying to see who was quick enough to grab handfuls of grass before it hid. Kaladin felt drained, used up. 4 days ago, he'd traveled by Oathgate to the Shattered Plains, then flown to the northwest at speed. Filled to bursting with stormlight and carrying a wealth more in gemstones, he'd been determined to reach his home, Hearthstone, before the Everstorm returned. After just half a day, he'd run out of stormlight somewhere in Aladar's princedom. He'd been walking ever since. Perhaps he could have flown all the way to Hearthstone if he'd been more practiced with his powers. As it was, he'd traveled over 1,000 miles in half a day, but this last bit, 90 or so miles, had taken an excruciating 3 days. He hadn't beaten the Everstorm. It had arrived earlier in the day, around noon. Kaladin noticed a bit of debris peeking out of the grass, and he trudged toward it. The foliage obligingly pulled back before him, revealing a broken wooden churn, the kind used for turning sow's milk into butter. Kaladin crouched and rested fingers on the splintered wood, then glanced toward another chunk of wood peeking out over the tops of the grass. Sill zipped down as a ribbon of light, passing his head and spinning around the length of wood. "It's the edge of a roof," Kaladin said. "The lip that hangs down on the leeward side of a building. Probably from a storage shed, judging by the other debris." Alethkar wasn't in the harshest of the Stormlands, but neither was this some soft-skinned western land. Buildings here were built low and squat. Sturdy sides pointed eastward toward the origin, like the shoulder of a man set and ready to take the force of an impact. Windows would only be on the leeward, the westward, side. Like the grass and the trees, humankind had learned to weather the storms. That depended on storms always blowing in the same direction. Kaladin had done what he could to prepare the villages and towns he passed for the coming Everstorm, which would blow in the wrong direction and transform Parshmen into destructive Voidbringers. Nobody in those towns had possessed working span reeds, however, and he'd been unable to contact his home. He hadn't been fast enough. Earlier today, he'd spent the Everstorm within a tomb he'd hollowed out of rock using his shard blade, Sill herself, who could manifest as any weapon he desired. In truth, the storm hadn't been nearly as bad as the one where he'd fought the assassin in white. But the debris he found here proved that this one had been bad enough. The mere memory of that red storm outside his hollow made panic rise inside him. The Everstorm was so wrong, so unnatural, like a baby born with no face. Some things just should not be. He stood up and continued on his way. He had changed uniforms before leaving. His old uniform had been bloodied and tattered. He now wore a spare generic Colin uniform. It felt wrong not to bear the symbol of Bridge 4. He crested a hill and spotted a river to his right. Trees sprouted along its banks, hungry for the extra water. That would be Hobble's Brook. So if he looked directly west, and shading his eyes, he could see hills that had been stripped of grass and rock buds. They'd soon be slathered with seed creme, and lavis polyps would start to bud. That hadn't started yet. This was supposed to be the weeping. Rain should be falling now in a constant, gentle shower. Syl zipped up in front of him, a ribbon of light.
"Your eyes are brown again," she noted.
It took a few hours without summoning his shard blade. Once he did that, his eyes would bleed to a glassy light blue, almost glowing. Syl found the variation fascinating. Kaladin still hadn't decided how he felt about it.
"We're close," Kaladin said, pointing.
"Those fields belong to Hobbleken. We're maybe 2 hours from Hearthstone."
"Then you're home,"
Syl said, her ribbon of light spiraling and taking the shape of a young woman in a flowing hava, tight and buttoning above the waist, with safe hand covered. Kaladin grunted, walking down the slope, longing for stormlight. Being without it now, after holding so much, was an echoing hollowness within him. Was this what it would be like every time he ran dry? The Everstorm hadn't recharged his spheres, of course, neither with stormlight nor some other energy, which he'd feared might happen.
"Do you like the new dress?"
Syl asked, wagging her covered safe hand as she stood in the air.
"Looks strange on you."
"I'll have you know I put a ton of thought into it. I spent positively hours thinking of just how... Oh, what's that?"
She turned into a little storm cloud that shot toward a lurg clinging to a stone. She inspected the fist-size amphibian on one side, then the other, before squealing in joy and turning into a perfect imitation of the thing, except pale white-blue. This startled the creature away, and she giggled, zipping back toward Kaladin as a ribbon of light.
"What were we saying?"
she asked, forming into a young woman and resting on his shoulder.
"Nothing important."
"I'm sure I was scolding you. Oh, yes. You're home. Yay! Aren't you excited?"
She didn't see it, didn't realize. Sometimes, for all her curiosity, she could be oblivious.
"But it's your home,"
Syl said. She huddled down.
"What's wrong?"
"The Everstorm, Syl," Kaladin said. "We were supposed to beat it here."
He'd needed to beat it here. Surely someone would have survived, right? The fury of the storm, and then the worst fury after? The murderous rampage of servants turned into monsters?
Oh, Stormfather, why hadn't he been faster?
He forced himself into a double march again, pack slung over his shoulder. The weight was still heavy, dreadfully so, but he found that he had to know, had to see. Someone had to witness what had happened to his home. The rain resumed about an hour out of Hearthstone, so at least the weather patterns hadn't been completely ruined. Unfortunately, this meant he had to hike the rest of the way wet. He splashed through puddles where rainspren grew, blue candles with eyes on the very tip.
"It will be all right, Kaladin,"
Syl promised from his shoulder. She'd created an umbrella for herself and still wore the traditional Vorin dress instead of her usual girlish skirt.
"You'll see."
The sky had darkened by the time he finally crested the last lavis hill and looked down on Hearthstone. He braced himself for the destruction, but it shocked him nonetheless. Some of the buildings he remembered were simply gone. Others stood without roofs. He couldn't see the entire town from his vantage, not in the gloom of the weeping, but many of the structures he could make out were hollow and ruined. He stood for a long time as night fell. He didn't spot a glimmer of light in the town. It was empty. Dead. A part of him scrunched up inside, huddling into a corner, tired of being whipped so often. He'd embraced his power. He'd taken the path of a radiant. Why hadn't it been enough? His eyes immediately sought out his own home on the outskirts of town. But no. Even if he'd been able to see it in the rainy evening gloom, he didn't want to go there. Not yet. He couldn't face the death he might find. Instead, he rounded Hearthstone on the northwestern side, where a hill led up to the City Lord's Manor. The larger rural towns like this served as a kind of hub for the small farming communities around them. Because of that, Hearthstone was cursed with the presence of a light-eyed ruler of some status. Bright Lord Rishon, a man whose greedy ways had ruined far more than one life. Moash, Kaladin thought as he trudged up the hill toward the manor, shivering in the chill and the darkness. He'd have to face his friend's betrayal and near assassination of Elokar at some point. For now, he had more pressing wounds that needed tending. The manor was where the town's parchmen had been kept. They'd have begun their rampage here. He was pretty sure that if he ran across Rishon's broken corpse, he wouldn't be too heartbroken.
"Wow," Syl said. "Gloomspren."
Kaladin looked up and noted an unusual spren whipping about. Long, gray, like a tattered streamer of cloth in the wind. It wound around him, fluttering. He'd seen its like only once or twice before. "Why are they so rare?" Kaladin asked. "People feel gloomy all the time."
"Who knows?" Syl said. "Some spren are common, some are uncommon."
She tapped his shoulder.
"I'm pretty sure one of my aunts liked to hunt these things."
"Hunt them?" Kaladin asked. "Like, try to spot them?"
"No, like you hunt great shells." "Can't remember her name."
Syl cocked her head, oblivious to the fact that rain was falling through her form.
"She wasn't really my aunt, just an honor spren I referred to that way. What an odd memory."
"More seems to be coming back to you."
"The longer I'm with you, the more it happens. Assuming you don't try to kill me again."
She gave him a sideways look. Though it was dark, she glowed enough for him to make out the expression. "How often are you going to make me apologize for that?"
"How many times have I done it so far?"
"At least 50.
"Liar," Syl said. "Can't be more than 20.
"I'm sorry." Wait, was that light up ahead? Kaladin stopped on the path. It was light, coming from the manor house. It flickered unevenly. Fire? Was the manor burning? No, it seemed to be candles or lanterns inside. Someone, it appeared, had survived. Humans are void bringers. He needed to be careful, though as he approached, he found that he didn't want to be. He wanted to be reckless, angry, destructive. If he found the creatures that had taken his home from him. "Be ready," he mumbled to Syl. He stepped off the pathway, which was kept free of rock buds and other plants, and crept carefully toward the manor. Light shone between boards that had been pounded across the building's windows, replacing glass that the Everstorm undoubtedly broke. He was surprised the manor had survived as well as it had. The porch had been ripped free, but the roof remained. The rain masked other sounds and made it difficult to see much beyond that, but someone or something was inside. Shadows moved in front of the lights. Heart pounding, Kaladin rounded toward the northern side of the building. The servants' entrance would be here, along with the quarters for the parchmen. An unusual amount of noise came from inside the manor house. Thumping, motion, like a nest full of rats. He had to feel his way through the gardens. The parchmen had been housed in a small structure built in the manor's shadow with a single open chamber and benches for sleeping. Kaladin reached it by touch and felt a large hole ripped in the side. Scraping came from behind him. Kaladin spun as the back door of the manor opened, its warped frame grinding against stone. He dove for cover behind a shale bark mound, but light bathed him, cutting through the rain. A lantern. Kaladin stretched his hand to the side, prepared to summon Syl, yet the person who stepped from the manor was no Voidbringer, but instead a human guardsman in an old helm spotted by rust. The man held up his lantern.
"Here now!" he shouted at Kaladin, fumbling at the mace on his belt. "Here now, you there!"
He pulled free the weapon and held it out in a quivering hand.
"What are you, deserter?"
Come here into the light and let me see you.
Kaladin stood up warily. He didn't recognize the soldier, but either someone had survived the Voidbringer assault or this man was part of an expedition investigating the aftermath. Either way, it was the first hopeful sign Kaladin had seen since arriving. He held his hands up, he was unarmed, save for Syl, and let the guard bully him into the building.